The vision was to introduce Craig to a wider audience, to reassert his position as a forefather of contemporary theatrical design and practice, to bring to life his ideas, experiments, and visions. The objectives of the exhibition were to embody his life, work, and relationships, to inspire current and training theatre practitioners to explore the aesthetics of Craig's work, his ambitions of theatre, his conviction, and his working processes, to introduce a new generation to Craig's productions and theories, and to showcase the V&A's collection of Craig material. This is a photo of Ellen Terry with the screens, which you'll see upstairs. The key messages that we think we'd like visitors to leave with are that Craig was brought up in a 19th century theatrical dynasty. He was a pioneer of modern stagecraft and an artist with a singular vision and an individual way of working. Contemporary performance owes a great debt to the work of Edward Gordon Craig and his interventions, firstly in the traditions of theatrical presentation and secondly in the field of theory and the conception of theatre. So the interpretation of the exhibition upstairs is non-chronological. It focuses on a peak period of productivity. It's thematic and immersive, and the idea was that the visitor would be provided with an experience that creates a strong impression that links together the 2D and the 3D. Also a strong interpretive device is that we follow Craig's principles through interactivity. And we celebrate Craig's words and engage the visitor through stories and moments, and I should add their music. The exhibition design brief, unlike Craig, we worked in a very collaborative way. Following Craig's aesthetic, but with a contemporary twist, which we tried to do here with the exhibition identity. We wanted to represent Craig as an artist and a theatre maker, bringing together the idea of the white cube and the black box, the gallery space and the theatre space. And also, you know, on a practical level, to provide a functional touring exhibition for an international audience. So that was the challenge. In the words of Craig, the art of theatre is neither acting nor the play. It is not the scene nor dance, but it consists of all the elements of which these things are composed. Action, which is the very spirit of acting. Words, which are the body of the play. Line and colour, which are the very heart of the scene. Rhythm, which is the very essence of dance. And one of my favourite quotes, the day there are no more experiments to test, no paths to adventure on that day we and other artists can go to sleep. So basically it was a very collaborative process with research, sound, light, graphics, scenographers, interactives and fabricators. So it's more than just an exhibition, hopefully. I just wanted to introduce here as well the screen patent, which has sort of remained with me in a way as the original photograph that I showed at the beginning. There's something about the fact that Craig patented his screens, this very technical approach that sort of we held with us as we developed the interactive installation. So the concept of space and light is very simple. It's black and white, it's light and space. It's 2D display of V&A prints. It's projection through photographs, which provides a chronological journey through Craig's life. And it's an interactive installation box, which deals with his two major obsessions, Hamlet and The Passion, and an audio theatrical presentation, which brings together his words and lifts them off the page. So the concept of the box. In an ideal world, I would have actually created a labyrinth, but it wasn't very practical. And this is a touring exhibition. It has to go to many venues. It needed to have an environment that could be controlled in light and sound. So it's a practical solution. And hopefully it's a kind of Craigian world when you step inside it. So just going back to the assets and their treatment. So to maximise the resources that were available to us and then how we would then display them. So the woodcuts and etchings from the V&A collection, we've displayed the original material, brilliant conservation, fantastically framed, all very exciting. The photographs are digital. I ran out of space, and they exist in a projected form. The music quotations and writings, Jane is going to talk about in a little bit. The Hamlet model, we've incorporated drawings, designs, and photos, but it's basically an interactive virtual model, which I'll come to. The St. Matthew's Passion, we've reconstructed and added a new lighting sequence. The 2D display, which is 44 original prints, surround the outside of the theatrical box and demonstrate that Craig was a recognised and distinguished printmaker and typographer, but the principles of his design process in the prints was as important to his exploration in the model. I just want to show these contrasting images. The one on the left shows the sort of seamless blurring of front and backstage in this sort of infinite space, and the powerful gesture of the black figure that we discussed earlier. This is the display you'll see upstairs. The Hamlet model. With the Hamlet model, the visitor can explore movement, light, and scenic elements as if they were manipulating a model box. This engages the visitor with the working methods of Craig. It allows the visitor to understand themselves the effects of lighting and movement on stage, and allows the viewer to understand Craig's theories and inspirations. I just want to show a few of the photos which were absolutely integral to the design process. These are in the archive. They're prints from original negatives taken probably by Craig, but made by Helen Craig. So these photos have sort of been with the interactive designers as they develop the environment, and they're really quite beautiful. So the Hamlet Interactive itself, the way it works is that objects can be moved around into various arrangements on a desktop where their movements are traced by an infrared reader below. The movements and arrangements of objects are then rendered as a 3D visual and projected onto a large-scale screen in front of the desk. The impact of your creation, you the visitor, is then projected onto the rear of the screen, which is both theatrical and entertaining. And we've been monitoring it over the last couple of weeks, and it is definitely a constantly evolving creation, and it's creating humour, and it's used by groups, and it's quite exciting. It's particularly fond of by teenage boys as well, which is an audience that I didn't necessarily think we would attract. I have photos actually of people working with the model. So. And the texture and the lighting and everything is very, very Craigy, and we've tried to completely stay in his aesthetic rules and not to do anything sort of too computer gamey, not to take it sort of too far into the 21st century, to sort of give it a context of in which Craig would have been working. So the St. Matthew's Passion has been brought from the archive in Dean Hill, and we've reconstructed it and reinterpreted to show alongside the Hamlet. So there's a virtual and a real model in the space. I just thought it would be useful here to see the original model from 1914, the model Craig's son made with Craig in 1972, and this is a close-up of how we've interpreted it today. We've added these white Corian figures, and Simon Donjo, the scenographer, has prepared a lighting sequence that takes you through 10 different states, but we're playing with Craigian white figures in a Corian material, so you have a very contemporary texture to the model. There is a projection upstairs which again draws from the museum's collection of photographs. So for people that don't want a thematic approach to his life, there's a chronological journey that you can walk through. In the words of Stanislavski, he says, "It will take a long time before even a few people begin to understand Craig, for he is half a century ahead of us all." Craig's work was ahead of its time. The interactive element of the exhibition explores his ideas out of their historical context. These photographs locate Craig temporally and geographically, demonstrating the remarkable nature of his achievement in the context of the early 20th century. So the audio I'm going to hand over to Jane to talk about.
I was charged by Kate to sort of initially make a sort of drama of Craig's life, which would accompany this visual exhibition and be in the box and give a kind of texture to the visual. The notion of to add drama as part of an exhibition, not a catalogue text, engaging a point of access for a non-expert audience and getting a sense of Craig as a person and his personality. And so I started thinking about it in dramatic terms. But the notion somehow of different voices in this small box with actually what's going to be quite a lot of visual material, the idea of a sort of Ellen Terry voice and a Irving voice and a kind of 19th century drama, radio drama going on with Ellen Terry saying, "Oh, Teddy, Teddy, you naughty boy," and somebody else saying something, just didn't feel as if it was going to work in a space of this nature. So gradually, I researched it and looked into Craig's own writing, it became very clear that his writing, his words, come off the page so extraordinarily well that there were really no other voices necessary to kind of animate the space. And indeed, even my voice wasn't necessary. What was necessary was Craig's voice and Craig in his own words. And I came across this quote, actually, from which I lifted from a thesis of a PhD student that I was working with at that time, which was in relation to some work by Tom Stoppard and a review of work by Tom Stoppard, which was talking about the way in which Stoppard had constructed this text. And this notion of a kind of non-sequential, meandering construction, which would actually give you a sort of sense of Craig's interior drama, which is, I think, what Sir Michael has talked about, the sort of fight with himself throughout his life. This was one of the ways in which this might be achieved by sort of literally cutting and pasting his own words to demonstrate his own contradictory nature. That was sort of what I started to do. And, of course, he has written and said a lot. And I presented Kate with a version, the first one, which I think was about an hour and a half long. And I remember Kate saying to me, "It's too much about his mother, not enough about him." And that might be because I recognised in Ellen Terry my own struggle with my own children, possibly. But that was, so we edited it again. This was added to by the fact that Zoe then sent me his audio tapes of Craig's own voice. And when you hear Craig's own voice, which is so immediate and so commanding, it became very clear that the next stage was to try and integrate Craig's voice. There are BBC recordings of Craig. There are recordings in the sound archive, which Kathy Courtney, who works there, wants me to mention, because I think it is really worth listening to those tapes, because he is quite extraordinary. But he is very dramatic and very 19th century in the way in which he speaks, very actually. So I then had to find an actor that would kind of work with, read, an actor who was just initially going to read the text, but work with Craig's voice. And I didn't want imitation, because the idea of imitation and representation seemed to be the antithesis of Craig's philosophy. So my notion was that this actor would just read the text in a very straight delivery, and that would be juxtaposed with this kind of rather dramatic Craigian voice. And the actor we chose was a very well-known radio actor called Anton Lesser, who is a fantastic, and you'll probably recognise his voice. But when we sent in the material, and this again is interesting in terms of the biographical detail that Sir Michael was talking about, the actor immediately recognised in Craig a sort of the dissatisfaction with acting that Craig manifested in his own life, and the reason that he left acting and the frustrations of acting, and the identification with Hamlet and all the other things which sort of spin round in Craig's life. And of course, also being an actor, within 3 minutes of listening to the voice of Craig, he'd adopted Craig's voice because he's a radio actor and has a fantastic ear. So we had to pull him back from a sort of a representational style. We didn't want imitation. We wanted him to just read it in a very straight way. In actual fact, I think now it does blend, but you can hear the actor struggling not to imitate Craig, that they are similar voices, but I think you can distinguish between the two. The final point I wanted to make, which relates to Tessa's talking about the wood engraving. I work with a fantastic, as Kate said, it was a collaborative team, and I work with a very wonderful sound designer called Peter Key, who was probably as obsessive about sound as and the minutiae of a millisecond if a note of the music was in the wrong place or tone in the voice wasn't right. And he's also as a researcher, and he, at one point we thought we'd have extraneous sounds as well as just Craig's voice. So he got in touch with the British English Society of Wood Engravers and went to find a lady who was engraving and actually recorded wood engraving, because we had this idea to give a tactile quality to the space, that there would perhaps be other noises in the space as well as Craig's voice. And he recorded the wood engraver. And we put this into the recording, and we listened to it. And unfortunately, it sounded like a rather small furry animal that was burrowing into the wood. And we imagined it would make the visitors in the V&A think that this was probably, that the wood itself was being chewed away by a series of little animals. So that got cut. So you've ended up with just Craig's voice, himself, and Craig's story or Craig's words spoken by an actor.
Just to finish off, as a curator, I see that exhibitions are a catalyst for bigger and greater things than the exhibition, and they should build bridges to other events. I mean, the touring exhibition which we've created here will be touring the UK and going overseas, and actually the fact that it is a touring exhibition has actually informed the interpretation, because we've wanted to use interactivity in the visual to explore ideas and theories across language barriers. Obviously, as part of the London Design Festival, we hope that the exhibition will engage with members of the creative industries. The interactive model will be developed to become a permanent feature in the theatre and performance galleries, and we're looking to develop it as a teaching tool as well. This study day is a fantastic opportunity to look at the cross-disciplinary legacy. I'm hoping that there may be performances inspired by the exhibition. The Isadora Dance Company want to do some dances, and I would love to see an actual staging of the St Matthew's Passion, so if anyone wants to take that on, that would be great. The other positive outcome is that there's much greater accessibility now to the Craig collections. All of the images have been digitised and are online, and you'll even be able to buy your own Craig print from V&A Images, which is quite exciting for those Craig fans. Just want to finish with the exhibition is going to the 12th quadrennial next year in Prague, and it will be shown at the Jaroslav Fragner Gallery, which is the city's architecture museum, and they have a much better space than we have in our temporary gallery upstairs, so go and see it there, because the box will be able to land in the centre of a space which has kind of a vaulted cathedral-like ceiling, and the two-dimensional works will be able to surround the box, so it will be a much more exciting space to see the exhibition in. And Craig has come full circle. This is the cover of the catalogue that Chris was referring to. The exhibition was here in 1922-23, and Craig made a model of his Hamlet, which is actually set in stone and in the permanent galleries upstairs, which is quite a contrast to our moving model. So Craig has come full circle and is back at the V&A. Three quotes. Peter Brooks says, "He was the origin of it all. The true influence for which we all carry today, whether we know it or not, comes from Craig." I also added a Corbusier quote, "Space, light and order, those are the things that men need just as much as they need bread or a place to sleep." Discuss. And one of my favourite Craig quotes, which is, "I want to leave behind me the seeds of the art, for it does not yet exist." And I think one of the things about exhibitions is you want people to leave and think about things differently and see the world in a different way. And I think with this, even if you know nothing about Craig, everybody has a sort of view on space and light. Thank you.